Gospel, chapter 20, and let's unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for the opportunity as we gather at Thy feet afresh to open up Thy Word and to see what God's Word has to say to our hearts. And our Father, we thank Thee that as we come today, that we have a blessed risen Savior. And our God, we rejoice in all that that means. And our Father, it is our prayer that we might not just know that with our minds, but we might meet the risen Savior. Think of how our Savior came amongst the disciples on that first day of the week and stood amongst them and was in their midst. And our Father, we'd pray that we might know in a special way that the Lord is in our midst and in this place. Come, our God, and speak to hearts, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The position of Mary Magdalene is one that has gained a lot of attention in recent days, mainly because of the best-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code. And that controversy and that interest in Mary Magdalene is only set to increase because on the 19th of May next month, there is a movie version of the Da Vinci Code novel coming out. And the new movie is made by the award-winning director Ron Howard and stars Academy Award winner Tom Hanks, amongst others. Now, the Da Vinci Code book has been a best-selling phenomenon. It was first published in 2003, and it is estimated that to date it has sold in excess of 40 million copies in the world. It has been published in more than 40 languages, and even at the moment it is in the top 10 selling list in Britain. It is thought that Dan Brown, who is the author of the book, who is a former teacher of creative writing, has made in excess of £200 million to date. And what is the controversy about? Well, the Da Vinci Code book tells us and claims that the Lord Jesus was actually married to Mary Magdalene, and that they had children, and that the descendants of those children today still live in France, in the region, in the southern regions of France, I think. Now, he goes on to consider what he considers to be the evidence. In his book, he states that it is a historical fact that Mary Magdalene was married to the Lord Jesus. But in defense of that, the only thing that he can cite is one of the Gnostic Gospels, a third century so-called Gospel of Philip. And we would say that the historians could pick holes in his argument, and that is quite literally so, because the document that he bases it all on is full of ant holes. And this is the thing that he bases the fact that Mary Magdalene was married to the Lord. It is this little passage: the companion of the ant hole, Mary Magdalene, ant hole, her more than ant hole, the disciples, ant hole, kissed her, ant hole on her, a little hole, the rest of the ant hole, they said unto him, why do you love her more than all of us? That is his evidence for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was married to Mary Magdalene. The BBC website reports how British reviewer Mark Lawson described the book as irritatingly gripping tosh. A review in the Sunday Telegraph declared that Brown's book, I quote, is not garbage, it is garbage on stilts, hyper-garbage that invokes garbage in self-authentication. In their book, The Da Vinci Hoax, authors Carl Olson and Sandra Meisel said that The Da Vinci Code, and I quote, is custom-made fiction of our time, pretentious, posturing, self-serving, arrogant, self-congratulatory, condescending, glib, illogical, superficial, and deviant. And, of course, From that you'll see that they don't think much of the book. And yet it has become a best-selling novel. And it has gripped the attention of many people. Why? Because part of the thesis of the book, part of the reason that he gives, is that there has been a cover-up in the church, more specifically the Roman Catholic Church, that has tried to cover over the part that Mary Magdalene has played. And the thing is that the public knows that Rome has in the past covered over many things, and they are willing to believe that Rome, especially in its secret organizations like Opus Dei, is quite capable of covering over things. And there is to an extent in which Rome has perverted what is said about Mary Magdalene, in that Rome has portrayed and the popes have declared that Mary Magdalene was a harlot. But there's nothing in the scriptures about that. Now the Bible says that the Lord cast 7 devils out of Mary Magdalene. But it says nothing about her being a harlot. And Rome really has used Mary Magdalene as a counter to the pure virgin, Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has used Mary Magdalene. And part of the thesis of Dan Brown in his Da Vinci Code is that the Roman Catholic Church and the Church in general has diminished the role of Mary Magdalene. But what I want you to see today is that the Scriptures do not diminish the role of Mary Magdalene. Now, it does not give her the position that Dan Brown might have given her in her novel, for that is a fiction. But we find here that at the resurrection, which is at the very center of our belief and our gospel, we find that the role of Mary Magdalene is central. She comes first to the tomb. She is the first to discover the risen Savior. And so we see the very important position that Mary Magdalene has. She comes in the dawn light of that first Easter Sunday. She comes at the very danger of her life, because there were Roman soldiers. The town was thronged with strangers. It was a dangerous thing for a woman to be out in the midst of the night darkness at that time. But in the dawn, she comes to find her Savior. And at first, she cannot find Him. And she is in despair. And there are so many today, even of God's people, and they are looking for the Lord Jesus in the wrong place. For Mary looked for the living amongst the dead. And there are those of God's people who have lost the sight of the risen Savior. They have lost the peace and the comfort of being in the presence of the mighty God of heaven. Well, today we see Mary Magdalene as she searches for her Lord, as she seeks to find her Lord, as she draws into the presence and indeed does find her Lord. And Christian, if you have lost sight of the Savior, if your heart has become cold, if you're not what you used to be, if you do not feel the warmth of His presence, and like the disciples, your heart no longer burns within you as you come to worship Him, I pray that you might find Him today and find the real peace and the real blessing of being in the Savior's presence. Let's look at the real story of Mary Magdalene as she sought the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a number of views of Mary Magdalene that I want you to see here in John chapter 20. And the first sight of Mary Magdalene here in the dawn light of the resurrection is of Mary lingering. Look at verses 10 and 11. It says there, "Then the disciples went away again into their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." Now, the other disciples went away. We don't know why they went away. But we read that when they went away, they come in the dawn light. They look into the tomb. They see that the stone is rolled away. They see that the body of the Lord Jesus is missing. And these men go away again. But Mary lingers. And I want you to see her waiting here. Why does she wait? Why does she stay there all on her own? I would suggest to you that her waiting at the tomb here is a demonstration of her love. Because she was intent on at least finding out where the Lord Jesus and his body had gone. And perhaps we shouldn't be too hard on Peter and John and that they went away. Perhaps there was some reason why they went away. But I think those words that are in verse 11 there are wonderful words. But Mary, it says there, but the disciples went away, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. She was not going to go away. She wanted to be with her Savior. She wanted to be with her Lord. And she wasn't content until she found him. And men and women, I say to you today, and can I give you a little bit of advice? That if you've lost sight of the risen Savior, if your heart has become cold, if you do no longer find that your heart is burning within you when you come to meet with the Lord and when you come to worship Him in this fashion, then I say to you, stop and wait until you find Him. Don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. Be intent on finding Him. Men and women, we are plagued in this day by Christians who are attempting to go on in their life without that conscious presence of the Lord with them. They're trying to go on, they've lost touch with Christ, and maybe they're like Samson, who wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And you're going on, and you're attempting to do things that you always did before, but the Savior is not with you. You've lost touch with the Savior. Well, men and women, do everything. Lay aside everything else. Take time off work if you must. Take time to wrestle with the Savior, if you must, and come and find Him. Where did Mary find Him? Well, you notice what is said here. She went to the tomb, and that is where she lost Him. That's where she had laid the body of the Lord Jesus the day before. She went to where she had lost, or last seen Him. She went to the place where her last contact has been. And then, woman, if you've lost contact with Christ, go back to the place where you lost Him. Did you lose Him in the place of prayer? Did you stop praying? Well, go back to that place. Did you lose Him because you no longer read the Scriptures? Have you lost touch with Him because of that? Well, go back to that place, but find Him. Be like the bride in the Song of Solomon 3 verse 2, who said, I will arise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways, I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. Will you seek Him with all of your heart today? You will be powerless. It will all be a routine until you see the risen Christ afresh. But not only do we see that she waited here, Mary Magdalene lingering, but I want you to see that she wept. Look at what it says. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. She was weeping as if her heart would break. The word for weeping there is a word which means to bewail. And now we think here of the tenderness of Mary's heart. She was in grief. She loved the Savior. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very thought of being absent from Him was enough to break her heart. Now, she had gone through the turmoil and the trauma of the crucifixion. She had seen her Savior die, the Master die. She had taken Him and with others had brought Him to the tomb and laid Him there. You can imagine what a scene that was as they bewailed the Lord Jesus Christ and laid Him in that tomb. But now she comes. She wants to draw near, and at least she wants the comfort of being near His last earthly remains, as it were. She wants to come to where the tomb is and to weep there and to pay her respects. And she feels that if she can just come to the tomb, if she can just be there, that she'll derive some comfort. And now she comes, and even that comfort is denied her. Even that is taken away from her. And in those days, of course, criminals were taken and burned. Now Joseph of Arimathea had demanded and asked the body of the Lord Jesus, and Herod had given him the body. But perhaps the logical thing to think was, when she came to the tomb, is that, well, they've changed their mind. The Lord Jesus was crucified, and obviously they've taken him away and to do some more despicable things to his body, and to burn that body. And she feels now bereft. She is heartbroken, for she cannot even find the comfort of being in the presence of the tomb. Amen, woman, would to God that we should weep. Oh, that we should weep. Oh, that there might be tears in our eyes today to think of the way that we have failed the Savior, to think that we have lost touch with Him, that we have not been obedient to Him, and how we should weep. You think of Peter, when he had denied the Lord, and the Lord looked at him, and it says, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh, that we might have tears in our eyes today. This was no superficial thing to Mary. Her heart was breaking. And oh, men and women, surely we need to come to that place of brokenness before the Lord. But thank God, when we come to the place of brokenness, and when we come to the place where we're really seeking the Savior, He will be found of us. He will come near. He will draw near. And if God is speaking to your heart today, He will draw near. So we see Mary lingering. But then the second view of Mary that I want you to see here is Mary looking. First of all, we see her looking at two particular things. First of all, she looks in the tomb. Look at verse 11. It says, and as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulchre. Now those that really seek for the Lord Jesus Christ will not only wait and weep, but they will watch. They will watch. They will open their eyes. They will seek with all of their hearts. It's not enough to know that you've missed out. It's not enough to know that your heart is breaking. It's not enough to know that peace is taken away as you wander about in this old world. What you need to do is come and look for where the Savior is. Look at what it says here. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Now, you notice that no obstacle is going to stop her finding the Savior. Because in the normal circumstances, if she had looked into that tomb and saw two angels, it would have scared her out of her wits. Because these angels, as we've often said, are not the cuddly type of creatures that you get in cartoons or in children's books. Angels are magnificent beings. Angels are strong creatures. The cherubim are the guards that guard the way to the presence of God. After all, you think of what happened to the two Roman soldiers who guarded the tomb. They had seen the two same angels. And what happened to them? They fainted and fell to the ground as if they were dead. But here's Mary Magdalene, and she carries on a conversation with these two angels, as if she was talking to her neighbours. Look at verse 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have led him. She's so intent on finding her Savior that even the sight of these mighty angels doesn't put her off. And maybe you've been in circumstances where you've been so intent on doing something that something else that maybe you would have found difficult in normal circumstances, you've just done. You've hardly thought about it. And that's Mary here. And here she comes and she confesses her need. She needs the Savior. And maybe it is hard for you to admit your need of Christ. It is hard for you to maybe come and speak to the minister. It would be hard for you to identify the fact that you've lost touch with the Lord Jesus. And it was hard for Mary here. But no matter what the hardness, no matter how much the difficulty, the true seeker after the Lord Jesus Christ will come to find Him. And we see Mary looking into the tomb. But not only did she look into the tomb, but she looked to the Master. Now, she'd seen two angels and she heard them speaking, but that didn't content her. You know, there are people that say to us, if, you know, an angel came down from heaven and spoke to us, that would convince us, that would be enough for us. But it wasn't enough for Mary. My, what a marvelous thing, what a mighty thing to speak with two mighty angels of heaven. But that didn't fill her need. Nothing. Nothing will meet your need except the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the preacher will not meet your need. Even the words of angels, if they were to stand in the midst of this gathering, would not meet your need. But the word of the Savior will meet your need. And she heard the voice of the angels, but that wasn't enough. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 15:2, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. Men, women, if you seek him, you will find him. And Mary's not content with the voice of the angels, or the words of the angels, and she continues on seeking. And what happens? She finds. She finds. Look at verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. The Lord Jesus was there. The Lord Jesus was near at hand all the time. Oh, she couldn't find him. She was in grief because of it and weeping. But the Lord was there. She saw Jesus. The word saw there is a word that means an intense gaze. She engaged intently. There was something familiar. I don't know whether the Lord had some kind of covering over her because it was his glorified body that there was some reason why she couldn't behold. But here she was looking right at the Lord Jesus Christ. She saw the one whom she was seeking. And yet she didn't know. She seemed to admit, I don't know, maybe perhaps, you know, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were holden that they couldn't see. Maybe that was what had happened to Mary Magdalene here. But the Lord was standing right in front of her, right beside her. She couldn't see him. Men, women, the Lord is near. Maybe you don't know his presence. Maybe you can't sense his presence. But the Lord is here. He's only a prayer away. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Will you do that today? And here was Mary looking at the Savior, and didn't know that he was there. Oh, he's here all right. The Lord Jesus stands amongst us in his risen power. Oh, he's here. If you will meet with him today. Mary lingering. Mary looking. But then the third view of Mary that we have here is Mary learning. Now she begins to learn about what it is that she's seeking for. And she asks questions of the Lord Jesus, whom she thinks is the gardener. Now look at verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And it says, she supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast led him, and I will take him away. Now she begins to ask questions of the gardener about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you wouldn't normally ask questions of a gardener about the Lord Jesus or where to find him. That wasn't his area of expertise, as it were. But she goes to the gardener, whom she thinks is the gardener, in order to find out. And she'll ask anyone who can help her. Men, women, ask anyone who can help you. Anyone who can direct you through the Scriptures. Now, don't go to someone who has no expertise in the things of God, who is not someone who is saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Otherwise, it will be the blind leading the blind. But you go to whoever it will be that can direct you. And she goes here, she's not filled with pride, but she asks questions, and she begins to learn. And you notice how that as she learns, she's willing to ask questions, and she says, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast led him, and I will take him away. And you notice what that question shows us. Spurgeon tells us that it shows us that Mary feared no ghastly sight. Because the body of the Lord Jesus had been broken. The body of the Lord Jesus had been beaten. The body of the Lord Jesus had been marred and pierced and cut and stabbed. And his visage was marred more than any man's. And now he'd been 3 days in the tomb. But Mary was willing to go to the body, for the wounds of the Savior are beautiful in the sight of those that are saved. Men, women, think of the wounds. Think of those 5 bleeding wounds he bears there on Calvary. He suffered and bled in our room and in our stead. Surely those things are beautiful to us. Surely Calvary is something that should draw out our love today. She feared no ghastly sight. And then Spurgeon said she dreaded no heavy burden, because she says, "I'll take her away." She was willing to try and lift the body. She was willing to try and carry that body by herself. I don't know how she was ever going to do it, but no physical effort was too great for Mary if she could bring her body, if she could get to where her Savior was. You know, as we come to the Savior, he said that we were to take up our cross and follow him. There is a burden to be borne as we follow the Savior. There is a cross that we must carry as we seek to live for him every day. And it is a heavy burden in some ways for some people. But you know what our Savior said about that burden? "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because when we bear it in love, and we do bear it out of love, it is easy, it is light. And to serve the Savior in this world which is against him, in this world that has no friend to grace or to God, it is a hard thing to be a Christian in some ways. Yet if you love him, then that burden will be nothing. Oh, the world has drawn you away. That love for the world has entered in. And the burden has grown heavier the more you've been drawn into the world. And the less the love of Christ has been in your soul and in your heart. But a person that really loves the Lord, that yoke is easy. That burden is light. And men and women, you may think it a burden to pray. You may think it a burden to serve the Savior. You may think it a burden to live the Christian life. But it is no burden. It's no burden, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We see Mary learning here. She learns where the Savior is. But one more view of the Savior here, or one more view of Mary Magdalene here, is Mary loving. Look at verse 16. "Jesus saith unto her," Mary, "she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master." One word from the Savior. That was enough. One word from the Lord Jesus. And she'd heard the sentence from the angels. She'd heard the angels of God speak. It wasn't enough. But one word from the Lord Jesus, and it allayed her fears and brought her back into peace and brought her back into blessing. Men and women, I counsel you again, get back into that place of peace and blessing. Find the Savior. And notice the substance of the word that the Savior spoke. It was her name, Mary. He called her by her name. He spoke her name. Because it was a personal word. The Lord is interested in the individual. The Lord is interested in you this Easter morning. Do you hear his voice? It's a long time since you heard the voice of Christ. But as God's word is open, do you hear his voice? In the stillness today, in the stillness of this meeting, as you strain your ear, can you hear his voice? He's calling you by your name. He's calling you by your name. It was a word of, we see the substance of the word. We see the solace of the word. It stopped her raging heart. It stopped her raging heart. And then notice the stimulation of the word. It stimulated her to reply. What did she say? Rabboni. And that is an Aramaic word. It just means teacher or master. She says, "You're my master. You're my teacher. You're my Lord." And a master was one who would lead his disciples in those days. And they would follow him wherever he led them. And she said, as it were, to the Savior when she called him Rabboni. She's really saying, like the hymn writer said, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll follow, follow on. Will you say that today? Where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. One word from the Savior is all you need. Come back to him today if you've wandered away. If you don't know him as your Savior, come to the foot of the cross and bow the knee and, like Mary, say, Rabboni, Master, I'm no longer taking charge of my life. I give my life into your hand. Will you do that today? Will you come to the blessed Savior, the God of peace, who speaks peace into the troubled heart? May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for Mary Magdalene, a true story. We thank thee, Lord, that she found thee and owned thee as Rabboni, Master. And our God, we pray that others might find thee afresh today. Lord, if like Mary, we have missed the Savior, O God, bring us back to thy feet. O Lord, speak to us through thy word. O God, challenge us as we go from this meeting today. And for those that know not thee, Lord, bring them to the foot of the Master and bless thy word to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.